everybody. Hi, how are you? My name is Bobby Rodriguez. Okay, real quick, how many of you guys went through Crossroads 45, our fourth and fifth grade ministry here? Very nice. How many of you are eighth graders in the room? Okay, great, very nice. Okay, you guys are like the last group of kids that I got to push through Crossroads. Some of you in seventh and sixth grade may have come to our Saturday service, which is really fun, and I know you guys from there, but I am really like excited to be here. I've been thinking about this. They asked me a month ago, and I thought, these are the kids that I really want to talk to. So we are in the middle of a new series called Translate, Learning the Lingo, and it basically takes phrases or verses that we as Christians have maybe misinterpreted, and Austin gave me some specific things that I want to make sure I said it. It says that the goal of this series is to help define what the phrases mean, why they're used, and to seek to understand and apply them in the right context. Because it's really important that we have phrases, or especially God's word, used in the right context. Last week, our first one, anybody know who was the person who did the talk last week? JP, okay. Not Jonathan Pecluda, JP? Or okay, I was like, man, those guys at Wake are big time. Okay, so, I mean, it got me, of course, and there's that. So he talked about nobody's perfect. And I know that he used some verses like Romans 3:23 just to talk about, hey, yeah, nobody's perfect, but here's the deal. He said that it is a true statement. However, some people can take advantage of the statement and use it as an excuse to do whatever they want. And as Christians, we should rightly respond to God's grace. How should we rightly respond to God's grace? And here's kind of the bottom line he gave us was, God's grace isn't an excuse to sin, but rather a reason to love and serve him more fully. How different is that? Like if you were walking around going, nobody's perfect, and then you just kept on sinning, when really what we want to say here is that God's grace isn't an excuse to sin, but rather a reason to love and serve him more fully. Those are two very different things, and I think it's really important that we grab that. Before we get a chance to talk about what I'm going to be and what I want to make sure that you understand and you're going to see that's very different from maybe the world sees it, how the world sees it, I need a volunteer. I need a sixth grade girl volunteer. I need the smallest. Listen. I need the smallest sixth grade girl who's willing to come on stage and do an incredible physical feat. I've seen you already. Come on up here, sister. Can you come on up? What is your name?
Sophia.
This is Sophia, everybody, and she is very small, okay? So, Sophia, I need you to do something for me, okay? Okay, so I have this thing on stage, which maybe you noticed or maybe you didn't. It is a giant barbell. Okay, we're going to put this right here just so it doesn't roll off the front of the stage onto that girl's foot, okay? So, Sophia, I need you to come here and deadlift this barbell. You know what a deadlift is? So a deadlift is where you're going to get in front of the barbell and you're going to grab it with your hands and then you're just going to stand up and then you're going to set it back down, okay? So you ready? Go ahead and get in there. I think this is going to be great. So remember, you want a flat back. Go ahead and grab it and let's see if you can pull it up. Pick it up. Wait, did you try? No. Okay. Hey, guys. I kind of thought this is probably what was going to happen. So I know how to fix this situation. And you have a slide? There's a big important. Yeah, okay, guys, anybody know who that is? Hey, that is Tim Tebow. And Tim Tebow actually won the Heisman Trophy, and he led the Florida Gators to the national championship. And I bet he could probably lift this barbell. And I want to look at where his strength comes from. Look at that. Okay, so we see a little close-up. It says Philippians 4:13. Well, what does that say? What does Philippians 4:13 say? It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sophia, we can get that barbell picked up, sister, and I happen to have the key right here in my pocket. I have a Philippians 4:13 eye black for you, okay? So we're going to have you. So again, this is the 4:13 side, so we're going to put that there. Okay, and then this is the Philippians side, so let's put this right here. So that's the Philippians side. Everybody, take a look. Right? Right? Are you ready to try this again? Okay, let's get under the barbell. Actually, she lifts this. This is going to be amazing. Okay? All right? So let's get, make sure. Hang on. Look, you don't want to, in a nice flat back. Go ahead, grab it now, and let's see what happens. All right, let's counter down, okay? On one, we're at 3, 2, 1, go. Oh, no. It's okay. It's okay. Hey, look, here's the deal. Let me go ahead and take these off your face. Oh, did that hurt?
No.
Okay, good. Wait. That hurt?
No.
Okay, good. That's really good. So I'm going to give you these, and I want you to hold on to them for the rest of your life as a reminder that we probably aren't looking at Philippians 4:13 the right way. So let's give her a big round of applause. She tried really hard. Great work. Okay. So let's put that, let's get that slide back over to just the verse with Tim Tebow for me. I like the Tim Tebow version of it better. There we go. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. This absolutely, most certainly does not mean that you can lift a heavy barbell or win a football game or pass a test that you didn't study for simply because you're a believer and you want to do it. Okay? Like we got to establish this fact right now that that verse doesn't mean that. And here's the deal. We have a really big need here because if we misinterpret this verse, if we start to believe that I can lift all things through Christ who strengthens me, we miss the truth of this verse. And we may even believe that God's word is not true because it said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and Sophia couldn't pick up that barbell. So then if the word says that, then God's word is not true. And let me tell you right now that if you're in On Your Mark or Crossroads or Starting Blocks, you will hear the phrase that the word of God is what? Absolutely true. So thank you very much, guys. That was great work. So I want to look, hey, what does Philippians 4:13 mean? I want us to be able to translate it, like our series, properly, okay? So, I have 2 points that I want to make today. The first one is the foundation, and point one is God loves you, okay? It's super-duper important. We're going to be talking about the gospel, and it is what the building block is. It's the foundation of point number two. We can build on that. And point number two is this. You can have everything, even if you have nothing. You can have everything, even if you have nothing. So point number one, God loves you. Point number two, you can have everything, even if you have nothing. Okay, so if we're going to talk about Philippians 4:13, we need to know some backstory about the book of Philippians as a whole. And the book of Philippians was written by the apostle Paul, and he's writing to a church that he planted in Philippi on one of his first missionary journeys. So Paul's job was to go to the known world and plant churches and spread the gospel so that others might know the freedom that comes from believing in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he did that. And then later on in his life, after being beaten a bunch of times and in jail, he writes this letter from jail to the people in Philippi to give them some encouragement. Now think about that for just a second. This is not the kind of jail that you might have seen before if you're watching a cartoon about Paul, where he's sitting in jail and he's happy and he's writing at a desk and everybody else in the jail is really happy. This is not that. This is Paul in jail, probably bleeding and hurting because he's been beaten, and he's been thrown in jail because he's following what God has told him to do. God has said, hey, go and make disciples of all nations, plant churches. And he's faithfully doing that, and he's now in jail because of it. But he's not in jail going, God, why are you doing this to me? Why am I in jail? Why are my circumstances so hard? He's not. He's penning a letter to a church that needs encouragement. He's saying, guys, be strong. That's what this book, the book of Philippians, that's what our kind of history of it. And so I want to move to my number one point, and that is that God loves you. It's absolutely true that he loves you. And if we look at the book of Philippians, it's interesting. It has 4 chapters, and it is really like literary genius. If you like Shakespeare or any other kind of literature because of the way that it's structured, the Bible is the best place to see literary genius at work. And so Paul writes the book of Philippians, four chapters, and in the middle he puts this little poem that talks about the gospel. And he has seven little stories that don't relate to each other. They all point back to this poem in the middle. And the poem is Philippians 2, 5 through 11, and I want to read just Philippians 2, 5 through 8. And it says this, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God," Jesus was God, "did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Remember, what I'm saying is that point number two is going to build on point number one. And if you've been around here since you were in On Your Mark or in Starting Blocks in Red where there were swinging babies, you have heard over and over, probably thousands of times, you've heard the gospel. You know the truth of Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." You probably know that Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." So one sin breaks our perfection. We're not perfect because we've sinned, and God's standard is perfection, and so we're separated from him to be without the leadership of God in this life. And then as this body dies, we go on to hell for eternity, not to heaven with him. And we also see in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 that it's not by works, guys. You can't do anything to make up that giant chasm between you and God. You can't be nice to your friends. You can't come to wake. You can't read your Bible or take really great notes enough to make up that difference between you and God. But John 3:16 is a great place to go. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So that's the truth, that if you believe in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as payment for your sins, you are saved. God no longer sees you and your sin. He's looking through a lens of Jesus' sacrifice for you, and he's saying, "You're perfect because of what my Son has done for you." If that is the first time that that makes sense to you, or if that's the first time you've heard that, man, come talk to me after this talk. I'll be hanging around, probably putting away that barbell, and I want to talk to you about it. Your leaders want to talk to you about it. Cooper and Austin, all the guys wanted to, AC, they all want to talk to you about that, okay? So that is massively important. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And then there's this awesome bonus that comes when we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, when we know that God loves us. And that awesome bonus is that we do not have to be anxious anymore. Isn't that crazy? We don't have to have anxiety in our lives when we are believers. It's super freeing to think about that, for me at least. You have a new relationship with God when you believe, a new relationship it's been restored between you and God here on earth. And so, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I bet a bunch of you guys have memorized that verse. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Remember, this is in the same chapter that we're looking at Philippians 4:13. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgivings, present your requests to God, and the peace of God," not the small part of God, but the peace, the contentment, the lack of anxiety, "the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." How awesome is that? Guys, I know that there's a bazillion things that can cause anxiety in your life. And I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable with you right now. This is like it literally happened last night. I work here at Watermark. I come up and I do talks like this all the time. I do a bunch of other things in my life. Like I like to coach CrossFit and I get really busy is what I'm trying to tell you. And right now I've got a lot of stuff that I've got to get done. A whole bunch. I've got to coach my kids' soccer games. I've got to coach basketball games. I've got to do all this stuff, and I'm laying in bed last night, and I'm just tossing and turning a little bit. Like, what are these leaders and kids going to think about what I have to tell them? What am I? What, I've got to deliver a bunch of stuff for people. I've got to make sure that I get my talk ready for a retreat that we're doing. And about 2:30, my wife wakes up and she's like, "What's going on? Are you okay?" And I just admitted to her, which I don't do very often. I said, "I'm feeling really anxious." And I'm thinking to myself, guys, I spent the last like 2 weeks making this message for you, and a part of it says you don't have to be anxious anymore. And my wife did not know what I was going to say to you. She didn't like have an idea of what I was going to talk to you about at all. And she goes, "Hey, God is good, and God is in control, and you don't have to worry." She said, "Hey, can I pray for you?" And at 2:30 in the morning, she prayed for me, and it helped me to realize if I am telling you something today, this morning, I certainly last night need to know and believe it myself. I need to know that God is good, and he's trustworthy, and he's going to take care of these situations. We're going to see how he did that for Paul in just a little bit. Now I want to talk about some things I thought about for you. Like, what are some things that might give you some anxiety? And there might be some big ones. Like, when I was little, like very, very young, my mom and dad got a divorce. And that was hard on me. That may be a situation that's going on in your life, is with your parents. Let's say you had this situation. Maybe you've got older grandparents, and maybe they're sick, and they're possibly going to die. And you're, like, anxious. Of course, you're going to be anxious about a grandparent who's hurting. And those are big, huge things. But even little things, we can have freedom from anxiety. Like, I thought about this. What if you're the only person in your friend group who doesn't have a cell phone? Like, I can see that. I'm like, what? When am I going to get one? Why can't I be cool? Like, they all have one. Mom, blah, 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 right? Or how about this? Stay with me. Shh. I'll wait. There we go. Like, what if you already have a cell phone and you got excluded from a really cool group of people who are doing a group text? And you're wondering, like, why didn't they invite me? Am I doing something wrong? Do they not like me? These are all things, anxiety that we don't have to have. Now, I do want to say this one little caveat. It is okay and totally appropriate for you to be sad about stuff, especially those big things that we talked about. But you are not required to have anxiety. I want to think about that Philippians verse again, that and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we are saved by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And a super cool bonus is we don't have to have anxiety anymore. We just don't have to. We can know that this all-loving God who loved us enough to send his son to die on the cross for our sins, we know that he is going to take care of everything. Okay? So that's that. Let's move on to point number two. You can have everything even when you have nothing. And if we're going to look at the context of Philippians 4:13, I want to back up one verse. And we're going to see it verse 4:12 and 13. And it says this: "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul says, hey, I have learned the secret of being content, satisfied, at peace in any and every situation. It's really incredible for us to think about. The secret is that Paul has everything. And everything is a deep, abiding relationship with God through faith in Christ. That is the everything. So write that down somewhere. The everything, you can have everything, which is a deep, abiding relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, even when you have nothing. Paul is telling us that through every single circumstance he's been in, well-fed, hungry, living in plenty or want, that he is content. And that happens when we realize, point number one, that God loves us, that we are saved by faith. Now, I do want to think about this. Paul is absolutely going to get to the end. I'm in the final point right here. The thing I want you to understand about Philippians 4:13 and why it solves our need to understand it properly, or else we might get it wrong, The thing I want you to understand is that you can have everything by faith in Christ, and that you don't need to worry about the problems in your life, and that you can find contentment. You can be sad, but you don't have to worry, because God is big and he's awesome and he's in control, so that no matter what situation you're in, big, hard things like divorce or death or jail, small things like phones and group texts, you can be content. You can have everything, even when you have nothing. So when you go to see that verse again, if you ever see it plastered on someone's eyes, let's hope that they know and understand that that verse doesn't mean that they can win the game that they're in. It means that they love Christ and they can endure everything that God puts them in the midst of, because they know that he is going to care for them. Let me pray, and you guys will get the head out of here. Heavenly Father, you are awesome. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for Wake, who has decided to take on these things that might fool other people, where they might think things that are simply not true and not appropriate for believers. And so, Lord, thank you for your wisdom through your word on Philippians 4:13. Can you help each of us to first have a foundational faith in your son's death, burial, and resurrection as payment for our sins? Lord, would you help us to deal with sadness that naturally comes? And then would you keep anxiety away from us? Would you guard our hearts and minds from that anxiety, so that we might have everything, even though we have nothing, that we might be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us? We love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thank you so much. Head on out of here. Get to where you got to get to.